Okay. Good
I
evening,
think it's
everybody.
going well.
Thank you for coming out to attempt to summarize our learning in a very, very short period of time. I was lucky enough a couple of weeks ago to spend a week hearing Shiurim on this topic, followed by a week in which I myself learned it. So turning this into a 30-minute shiur is like when I came out of teacher's college and I finished my degree in chemistry, and then I'm asked to teach grade 11 chemistry again. It's hard to boil things down into, but that is part of the challenge. So I just thought I would go through the Gemara, which, again, you should have learned or seen at least a little bit, just to go through a couple of points on it and hopefully bring the sugya together by taking a few little pieces and trying to give a perspective on how other people learned the Gemara in the past, Rishonim Achronim, some of which you may have seen, some of which you may have seen other Rishonim Achronim take in a different direction. But let's just go through the basics. The Gemara opens up basically with the case that was sent to Shmuel's father. Interestingly, it doesn't actually say that he answered this. The presumption of the Gemara is that he's the one who said this. But this actually just says they sent him this. And basically, that if someone was forced to eat matzah, they have fulfilled the mitzvah. The Gemara asks, what type of forcing are we talking about? Are we talking about someone who had a shade force them, which the Gemara means was under some form of mental illness? And the Gemara says, okay, no, that can't be because then you wouldn't have been Yotze. And then ultimately, Rav Ashi concludes many, many generations later that it was actually the Persians. So, on the first part, just in terms of a very, very relevant set of halachos, when it comes to a shota being pater from something, so we say if at the time of the Seder he was having some episode and therefore was not chayav in the mitzvah at that time, even if he ate his matzah, even if he ate his matzah, he has not fulfilled his obligation. That was obvious according to all opinions in the Gemara. It's just important to note that this ptur is a question. There's a question in the Achronim debate as to what exactly makes someone pater. Is it the fact that it just he's a shota, so his actions don't count at all? Or is it that he was actually pater at that time? And when you do something, when you are pater, you cannot fulfill a mitzvah when you are chayav. This has many, many, many applications in halacha to many important cases, ranging from cases of osek b'mitzvah or lo aleinu if someone is an onen, in cases where they would for some other reason be patur from a mitzvah if they did the mitzvah, what's the halacha in that time? Most relevant, perhaps, for us on a weekly basis, is there's a Mordechai who seems to say, based on the interpretation of the Minchas Chinuch and others, that on Erev Shabbos, Tosefes Shabbos, the Mordechai believes is actually only derabbanan. And he says, therefore, when you make Kiddush after coming home from your early minyan, from your plag minyan, it's actually not Shabbos d'oraisa. It's actually Shabbos d'rabbanan. And yet he says, even though you are not chayav in Kiddush d'oraisa, you have fulfilled your later obligation of Kiddush d'oraisa when you make Kiddush d'rabbanan, because he says you need, again, according to some interpretations, you need two details. Number one, you need to at least be chayav d'rabbanan. That, however, is not enough. You also need to be leading into a chiyuv d'oraisa. It's possible that you will be mechuyav d'oraisa, which, of course, does not exist with a shota, but there's a lot of cases in which this is very, very applicable. It's just important to consider that for whatever reason, the shota is chater, that may have ramifications to other situations as well. Going on to the case of Kafu Parsiim, there's a lot of cute things that I saw and I heard on Kafu Parsiim. I don't know if we'll get into those, maybe if we have some time. But the bottom line is, after Rav Ashi concludes this, that Rav Huad Shmuel says, if the Persians forced you to eat matzah, you're Yotze, Rava tells us that this teaches us, HaTokel L'Shir Yatzah. If you were blowing the shofar for song, you have fulfilled the obligation. And the Gemara says, what's the difference? And then the Gemara says, well, I'm just going to read you the lines of the Gemara because the Gemara is so cryptic to me. To me, I had no idea what the Gemara was saying when I first read it, not because I didn't understand any of the words, because I understood too many. Says the Gemara, why would I have thought that being forced to eat matzah is different than blowing shofar for a completely different reason, for a shear? Mahu detema, I would have thought, hasam echa matzah amar rachmana. There, the Torah just says, eat matzah. Okay? So at this point, stop. What are we suggesting? What does the Gemara seem to be suggesting? That matzah is in some way special because the Torah is just telling you eat. It doesn't care how you eat, what you're thinking about. Okay, that would have been enough, says the Gemara v'ha'achal. In which case, I would have thought that's not the case by shofar. For shofar, there's no special rule of just blow. It's not the same. But then the Gemara says, go on, avalhacha, but by shofar, zichron truaksiv. There's some sort of brain component in the mitzvah. This is now a second possible difference between them. And behind mitasek ba'almahu. And then the Gemara goes on to say, and here it seems to be when you're blowing for a song, you're a mitasek. Says the Gemara, kamash malan. And that's why Rava has to tell us this halacha, that they're equivalent. So really, the Gemara has identified just in our version of the Gemara, which, by the way, many Rishonim have slightly different yourselves here. In our version of the Gemara, we've got at least three differences between them. One is that matzah is a very basic mitzvah that's simply a physical mitzvah. That's one possibility. Number two, that there's actually a pasuk, which tells us that you have to have kavana for shofar, that says zikron trua. Or number three, that in some way, blowing lishir is more mitasek than eating matzah. That's at least three. The truth is, if you look through the Rishonim, how they explain the Havamina and the Maskana is really what I'd like to focus on primarily here for the next few minutes. You take a look, Rashi brings up and actually makes things slightly more complicated. If we have more time, we'll spend a little more time on this Rashi. Rashi says that it's about the Hana'a which you're having. Rashi points out that there's an idea that we say in terms of a Korban Chatas, that if someone was mitasek v'chalavim v'arayos, if someone was doing the averos of either consuming chalev or being with an erva, even if they were mitasek, they didn't really know quite what was going on. They weren't even intending to do that action necessarily. Still, in that case, they have to bring the korban. Why? Because there is an inherent benefit in eating things and cohabiting with people. There's just a benefit that happens there. And therefore, says Rashi, since matzah is an eating mitzvah, there's an inherent benefit. So the Hava Amina seems to be, and by the way, not necessarily is the Maskana different, but the Hava Amina of Rashi seems to be, at least if you look into Pnei Yehoshua, okay? When it comes to mitasek of matzah, that's fine. Why? Shekein nene. However, Hava Amina, that's not the case by shofar. So what then would be the kamash malan of the Gemara? What then is the answer? What is the maskana of the Gemara then? And again, we can go in all sorts of directions. There is as wild an answer as you would have thought the Netziv says. You know what? There is hana in the shir that you're hearing from the shofar. Again, totally not something that we see inside in Rashi, but what could be a natural progression from Rashi saying, I would have thought that only this is shekein nehene. Answer is no, shofar is also shekein nehene. Others go in very different directions. Okay? If you look at, again, the Pnei Yehoshua says, we don't say shekein nehene when it comes to a forcing action, or perhaps we don't allow this svara of Rashi's to exist at all, some would say. The simple reading of Rashi, which is very, very hard to understand and bothers a number of Acharonim, is that Rashi says, if you look at the top Rashi on the next line, it says, Afal gav demitasek hu yatsa. Kamash malan, says Rashi, what is the chiddush of the Gemara? That you're yotze as a misasek. That's very, very hard to understand because there's a Mishnah that says you're not yotze if you're misasek when you're blowing shofar. Perhaps you delved into that. The Maharsha, in fact, says, if you look in Tosfos may be saying this, that the idea of the maskana of the Gemara is, according to this opinion, that this is not considered mitasek, right? That's what I have over here, right? This is not considered mitasek. We thought it was a mitasek tokei l'shir. Wrong. You flip a few pages later in the Gemara, you're going to see what a case of mitasek is. This is not it. But the bottom line is, again, there's so many different ways to look at this. Others that look at it a different ways, for example, Rabbeinu Hananel on the page. Rabbeinu Hananel says, right, that it really is just whether or not we would think you need special kavana. Okay? We would think that shofar, for whatever reason, whether or not we're literally learning out from the pasuk, it doesn't seem that way. Rabbeinu Hananel, I don't believe, brings the pasuk. He says, "V'hacha be'inyan tkios kavana salev ba'inan velata." We need kavana salev, whether that's part and parcel of the mitzvah of shofar. Shofar requires kavana salev, or whether it's that we actually learn it out from a pasuk. Again, that might be the havamin and the maskana as well. Is there something special about shofar? You get a big problem when it comes to some other very, very interesting things. There's a chiluk that's brought by the Magid Mishnah. The possibility that there is a difference between mitzvos which have a formal ma'aseh and mitzvos which don't have a formal ma'aseh. Some were willing to read this Gemara and to say, matzah has a clear ma'aseh. You're actually doing something. Whereas shofar, it's not clear exactly that you're doing a ma'aseh. Why? What's the mitzvah of shofar? It's to hear the shofar sound, right? It's not necessarily an action of blowing the shofar per se. In which case, again, you have people who go so far just to emphasize the point to say that the maskana of the Gemara is no, the mitzvah is actually to blow the shofar, and this Gemara proves it. Again, we wouldn't say that as a matter of halacha, but the point is there are so many different ways that we see the hava min maskana being according to different rishonim. Again, you can see the ritva goes through this. There's many, many different ways to do it. The reason why I'm listing all these different ways of explaining the Gemara, however, is because I think there's something very, very important to learn from this, which is one person's hava amina and maskana may very well be what for another person is actually the opinion of mitzvos tzrichos kavana. As you saw, there definitely are two opinions. There's one opinion of mitzvos inan tzrichos kavana. There's one opinion of mitzvos tzrichos kavana. For sure, that's the case. What exactly are the exceptions to this rule, however? You doubtless came across some posek, most notably the Rambam, most likely, if you've seen, and people like to point to the Rambam, because there's a famous steer on the Rambam. The Rambam paskins what seems to be the most basic reading of the Gemara. If you read the Gemara here on Tav Ches Amud Aleph, you see that the Gemara seems to say, Kafo v'achal matzah yatzah, that kafu parsiim, if you were forced to eat matzah, you are yotzah the mitzvah. It also seems to say, when it comes to shofar, a bunch of times, that you need to have kavana shomeya umashmiya. There needs to be kavana of both the person making the sound and the person hearing the sound. So the Rambam says, yeah, for shofar, you need to have kavana, and for matzah, it seems like you don't need to have kavana. Now, the presumption is that it's possible we do need kavana, except for in cases like matzah. Okay? And there were many different ways, which you may have covered or not, and we will get back to, as to how you can explain that. So the Rambam, again, we would say is, we paskin mitzvos do need kavana. Except, let's say, one, some would say the Ran, the Beis Yosef, which you saw, says, anytime there's hana'a, you don't need kavana. Meaning, we really paskin, yes, kavana. Here is a list of exceptions. What I'm trying to bring up with this hava min and maskana at the beginning of Gemara is that you could very likely say the exact same thing within the opinion of mitzvos einan tzrichos kavana. That even according to Rava, it could be there are exceptions where you would, yes, need kavana for whatever reason. So let's think of it this way. Just as we could explain the Rambam, again, on a theoretical level, I'm not saying people say this as much, that like the Ran does. Okay, the Ran says 100% clearly, the chiluk between matzah, where the Rambam does not require kavana, and shofar, where the Rambam does seem to require kavana, is because matzah, again, shekein nehen. We could just as easily say, by shofar, zichron shuraksiv. We could say, shofar requires extra kavana. Or shofar is, yes, a maisa, not a maisa. The point is, we have to be very aware that because there's such a variety of ways in which we explain the shita of mitzvos in antzrichos kavana, both in the hava amina and in the maskana, that may very well be similar to an approach that we take halacha lemaisa that mitzvos yes tzrichos kavana. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, in terms of that machlokas, and again, I apologize for the speed at which I'm going. I'm hoping that, first of all, the familiarity with the material as well as the short time frame that we're on will be able to make this somewhat manageable. But the big machlokas as presented stems really from the Rif. The Rif quotes the beginning of the Gemara, but also quotes the statement right at the bottom of Chaf Tesem and Beis, top of Chaf Tesem and Aleph, that Rabbi Zeira told his aide, I would like you to have in mind and blow for me. And the question is, on a simple level, most likely, most of us, when we were reading this, assumed like Rashi. Rashi says, Titkaven liskoa bishmi lehotzieni yedei chovasi. I want you to have in mind to be motzi me in the mitzvah that you are doing. You are blowing shofar. I want you to have in mind to be motzi me. That would imply very, very clearly that Rabbi Zera was of the opinion, at the very least in this case, that he wanted kavana for shofar. Now again, can we come up with ways in which this does not necessarily imply that all mitzvos rechus kavana? The answer is certainly yes. First off, some Rishonim, and many Rishonim list this at least as an idea that there is a distinction between the two cases, but the Rashba says it explicitly. Maybe ichavin vitakali does not actually mean have kavana to be motzi mi in the mitzvah. Maybe it means similar to what we saw back in the later sections of Chaf Ches Amud Beis, where we had two cases that the Gemara raised. One case the Gemara raised was the case of Kriyashma, and the second one was over Achori Beis HaKnesses, which is the Mishnah here in Rosh Hashanah, that if someone was passing and they heard a shofar, the Mishnah says, Im kivein libo, if you had in mind, yatza. Im lav lo yatza. So the Gemara says, according to the opinion that you don't need kavana, so what could im kivein libo mean? Both by Shema, the Gemara gave one answer, but also over here. And the Gemara answered, Sabor chamor ba'almahu. If you hear a shofar, you might think it's a donkey braying. Okay, you might think it's a donkey braying. So, and so too, the Gemara continues, how then is that possibly relevant to Kavanas Mashmiya? If the person is blowing the shofar, how can he possibly think that it's a chamor braying? That doesn't make any sense. And the Gemara ultimately says, okay, it gives an answer similar to Dilma Dika Minaveach Nevuchi. Maybe he was Minaveach Nevuchi, whatever that means. I think on the sheet that Rosenberg gave me, you saw the Machlokas Rashi and Tosvos, where Rashi basically said, make sure to actually blow the correct sounds. Whereas for Tosvos, it was make sure to intend to blow the correct sounds. But the bottom line is, there is a form of intent called Kavana Lehashmiya that is not necessarily synonymous with Kavana Lehotzi. Rashi is Kavana Lehotzi. And many Rishonim say that's a simple pshat. Ichavein v'takali means that. It's possible, however, says the Rashi, but again, other Rishonim as well, that ichavein v'takali means I want you to make sure you're blowing the right thing. Does that mean you're having in mind, I want Rabbi Zera to be yotze the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar with my blowing? No. In which case, does Rabbi Zera necessarily disagree with Rava? No. I believe I saw somewhere, I didn't see it outright, so I don't know if this is my mind playing tricks on me, but perhaps Rabbi Zera was a very great man. Perhaps Rabbi Zera was being machmir, right? Certainly no one would say it's a bad thing to have kavana for a mitzvah. So again, also a reading like that, Rabbi Zera, the great sage, is saying it's a midas chasidus, go and have kavana in both ways, but again, not necessarily disagreeing with the psak that's attributed in our version of the Gemara to Rava, that mitzvos einan srichos kavana. On the other hand, like we saw Rashi, there are many, many others that seem to say, no, Rabbi Zera is coming to disagree, and there's a lot to talk about, especially to compare the sugya over here and the sugya over here. But the bottom line is we come up with, again, different ways to explain different cases away. Whether or not we paskin mitzvos yes, srichos kavana, and we find exceptional cases, or whether or not we paskin mitzvos einan srichos kavana, we find exceptional cases in that way. I'll just tell you one really amazing thing. That there's a question of the Rashash, right? The Gemara answered, the Gemara that I just brought you all the Gemaras pretty much that were covered. Not all of them, there's a big chunk in the middle, but the Gemara that we talked about, Hayover Achorei Beis HaKnesses, we were passing behind the Shamaful Shofar, says the Mishnah, three words, O Kol Megillah, or you heard the Megillah sound. So those of you that have heard Shofar before understand how you could confuse a Shofar with Chamor. I mean, I'm not such a maven in Chamor noises, but I could hear the similarity. Pun intended. Megillah, however, I think that might be a little bit of a stretch. To say that the Megillah sounds like a chamor, who in their right mind thinks that the person reading the Megillah sounds like a donkey? So the obvious answer is, and as we see in Rabbeinu Chananel, Sabor chamor ba'alma mean doesn't really just mean you think literally it's a donkey. It means you thought it was something else. And the Achronim give all sorts of permutations. You thought it was a katan reading it. You thought this. You thought that. You can come up with all sorts of cases. There is, however, a minority opinion that is brought in a tshuva from Rav Moshe. I have to look up in my notes where exactly it is, based on an idea from the Yom Trua, that it's possible for mitzvos in which we say that the mitzvah functions by a mechanism of shomea ke'one. Okay, shomea ke'one, in short, again, we could give many, many long shiurim on shomea ke'one, but in short, the idea is that one person performs the mitzvah, and when we listen, we are also performing the same mitzvah along with them. It could be that that type of situation, okay, where it's not just about for a shofar listening and hearing, which is what we are doing, we're actually listening and hearing, but when it comes to the Megillah, we are supposed to be saying the Megillah, and this person, in that case, it could be everyone would agree you have to have kavanah. In that case, notes Rav Moshe, if you were to read the Gemara that way, Megillah is not what the Gemara's question is, because Megillah is very easy. Everyone says you need kavana, a real kavana by the Megillah. Why? Because the person is being motzi u'shomea ka'ona. That everyone would say you have to have kavana in order for us to count it as if you're doing it. So the Gemara's whole question was only about kol shofar, in which case it's very easy to get confused between a kol shofar and a chamor. But again, these types of cases, and again, the chilukim that you may have seen or that I may have seen includes shamea ka'one, includes maisa versus no maisa, includes hana'a versus no hana'a, which, by the way, if you look in the Aruch Lener says that's the difference between matzah and maror. We say shekein nana about matzah because matzah we hopefully enjoy somewhat. Maror, the whole idea is not to enjoy maror. So we don't want to say shekein nana about maror. Again, these are little things that I just saw sprinkled around the sheer questions that were asked that I think are relevant to mention. Now, I'm not here to give you halacha shir. I'm telling you halacha lemaisa. We know the Shulchan Aruch does bring the cases of it does bring the cases of the Rambam and does seem to paskin like both of them, and does seem to be pretty explicit that it does have to do with hana'a. And again, the Nosei Kelim discuss this, but I do want to discuss a few other things that the Shulchan Aruch brings and that are very relevant to halacha that come up from the sugya. First one that I'd like to discuss is what we call either kavana lehetech or kavana shelo latze. Very fascinatingly, there's a Pnei Yoshua. Pnei Yoshua takes this right from our Gemara. Some Rishonim, Pnei Yoshua was an Achron, but some Rishonim discuss this from other sugyas and shas. If you specifically had kavana not to be yotze to the mitzvah, do you fulfill the mitzvah according to the shita of mitzvahs eino tzrichas kavana? Because it doesn't need kavana. Maybe even if I have kavana not to be yotze to the mitzvah, that will be the case. Ritva and Pnei Yoshua, from our sugya, they say, one second. Imagine the scene. Parsiim come. It's Seder night. You're sitting at your Seder. The Parsi comes, holds a gun to your head, says, eat this matzah or else. You should be jumping for joy. This is a great opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Now, I realize you may be a little nervous. He is holding a gun to your head. But ultimately, why would the person have to be forced to eat matzah on Seder night, says the Pnei Yoshua, if not for the fact that he is not wanting to eat matzah? Same thing with the shofar. He says, can you imagine a situation? It's Rosh Hashanah morning. You have not heard the shofar, and you're like, hey, I think I'm just going to go play a song with Kiyush Shvarim Trua in it. Right? What, like, that's a Rasha, says the Pnei Yehoshua. This is someone who specifically must be intending not to fulfill the mitzvah, because these cases would never arise if the person wanted to fulfill the mitzvah. He's got a shofar in his hand, just blow. Now, the truth is, this is a very questionable assertion, even though it really fits in nicely to the Gemara, and the Pnei Yoshua has a whole long piece on this where he explains that's why the Gemara didn't just jump straight to mitzvah, shrichos kavana, mitzvah, and shrichos kavana, because it needs to show us this chiddush. That again, clearly this person does not want to fulfill the mitzvah, and he's screaming, no matzah, no matzah! I said before I'd make a reference back to the Parsiim. So some of the very late Achronim ask, why would a person not want to eat matzah on Pesach? Those, who do we know from Persia and Tanakh? Who are the Persians in Tanakh that are very famous to us? The Megillah. So perhaps suggests, again, these very unique and recent people, the reason why the person didn't want to eat matzah is because it was the time of Achashverosh when they were fasting on Pesach. So the Parsiim here are forcing him, eat matzah, eat matzah, eat matzah, no fasting. It's a cute idea. I'm not convinced that that's the simplest shot of the Gemara, but the bottom line is we can come up with many situations in which we can answer that it's not true that the person didn't want to fulfill the mitzvah. For example, if you look in Rabbeinu Chananel, a fascinating idea. What is tokea lishir? It's not tokea lishir, he says, tokea lashir. There was the shira in the Beis Hamikdash that they sang, and it was accompanied by shofar. So it's not that this person is not trying to fulfill the mitzvah. Maybe he's trying to fulfill another mitzvah. And there are other cases as well where we can see, again, if someone came over to me and was holding a gun to my head, I would be nervous. You could say the person forced me to do it, even if I wanted to do it. Certainly, we can come up with cases, which is the basis for, and from other Gemaras, for people saying that if you have kavana not to be yotze the mitzvah, it's quite possible that even according to the opinion that mitzvahs do not need kavana, you were actually also not yotze the mitzvah. This has tremendous ramifications lahalacha for many things that we do. The Rishonim actually discussed it most prominently in regards to Havdalah and Shul on Motzei Shabbos, that apparently a lot of people used to be there for Havdalah. How have they not fulfilled the mitzvah for that reason? Or because the person making the Havdalah is having in mind not to be motzei them, which would also be, by the way, dependent on the same mach locus. That's kavana shelo latzeis, and there's a lot there. It's possible also there's an idea of Iran later on that kavana for another mitzvah may be also kavana shelo latzeis. That's against that Rabbeinu Hananel that we mentioned, who says that again, there it's okay Allah Shir for the Shir in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what was going on. In our last few minutes here, I'll list something else that's, again, very relevant to Halacha L'maisa, is according to the Shita of Mitzvos Inan Tzrichos Kavana, again, there's a Ra'ah quoted by the Ran. The Ra'ah says, you do, however, need to have a basic understanding of the situation that you are in. Namely, you need to know that you are eating matzah, and you need to know that tonight is Pesach. Even according to the thing that mitzvahs einan tzrichos kavana, that's when you don't have kavana to do the mitzvah. I know it's Pesach, I know I'm eating matzah, and I'm not having kavana to be able to say the mitzvah of matzah. That's the case of mitzvahs einan tzrichos kavana. But were someone, for example, to think that today was Purim, and they're eating matzah, such a person, even according to the Shita mitzvahs, einan tzrichos kavana, would not fulfill the mitzvah. Debates as to how well this fits into our Gemara. Interestingly, there's a Rabbeinu Yerucham. He says, you know why the person is not eating the matzah? Why do the Parsiim have to force him? He thinks they're feeding him chametz. The Parsiim took out a cracker and said, eat this. Now, it turns out it was actually matzah. So again, this point of the Ra'ah is debated. However, the Shulchan Aruch does seem to follow it and say that if you've got no clue what's going on, in such a case, even according to the Shita of mitzvahs inan tzrichos kavana, you would not fulfill the mitzvah. Very interesting, there's a Chok Yaakov. He says, if that's the case, what's the chiddush of a shota? He says, the shota doesn't know what's going on, so obviously he's not going to fulfill the mitzvah in any form. So why isn't this enough reason? He actually says, Chok Yaakov, and again, question as to how we would go with this halacha, if the person has a blank slate of a mind, doesn't know what day, what time, doesn't know what he's doing, Chok Yaakov says, actually, you would fulfill the mitzvah. It's only when you have opposite kavana. I thought today was a day other than Pesach, or I thought that this was a food other than mitzvah. Okay, so it's just an interesting Chok Yaakov. The bottom line is that, again, the Shulchan Aruch does seem to bring this idea that you do need to know, at the very least, that the circumstance is one in which a person may theoretically fulfill the mitzvah, meaning he knows what day, he knows what he's eating, and similar for all these other types of cases. But there are many that paskin mitzvos inan tzrichos kavana, and there are many that paskin mitzvos yes tzrichos kavana. It seems that the most commonly adopted position is that certainly by deoraisas, we do follow the rule that mitzvos tzrichos kavana, and you should redo a mitzvah. If you did a mitzvah deoraisa without kavana, we say you should redo the mitzvah. How exactly it may apply to the brachos within it and mitzvos derabbanans is a separate discussion that comes up in various cases. And again, ultimately, there are various exceptions quoted by different poskim in all of these cases, either from the beginning of the Gemara, because we really paskin mitzvos einan tzrichos kavana, and here is an exception where you do, or because of the end of the Gemara, if they indeed follow the opinion that Rabbi Zera is of the opinion that mitzvos do require kavana, there are some exceptions, like we see again in the cases of the Rambam and otherwise, that seem to say in this case you would not need kavana, but certainly it's something very, very valuable to be able to have kavana in all mitzvos, not just the mitzvos that absolutely lahalacha need to be done again if you didn't have kavana, but all mitzvos. There also are a separate set of mitzvos that even according to the opinion of mitzvos in tzrichos kavana, part of that mitzvah is to have kavana. So if the Torah says, for example, leman tizkor, leman tizkeru, or leman yidu dorosechem, in the case of sukkah as an example, sukkah, tzitzis, other things, those mitzvos, that's a different type of kavana altogether. There's also a question about the kavana of Kriya Shema, having kavana to prepare Shemilos. Again, as you see, this is much, much wider than we can possibly explore, but hopefully this gives you a quick taste of A, how to go through and how some of the Rishon Maharonim learn simply how to read this Gemara. Number two, okay? Halacha lemaisa, what are some of the more common cases that are derived from this Gemara? Kavana of opposite kavana or the basic knowledge that you may have. And hopefully with that, again, we can make our mitzvos to be wonderful, focused mitzvos for the sake of Hashem Yisbarach.
What about the...